By the way, if you don't know what palm trees are Christians. And you might consider that knowing that it's a person. Anyone else? I'd like to, first of all, give a little bit of a comment concerning the communion of saints. And the communion of saints is something that most Christians hear or declare that they believe in, but they don't comprehend the harmony between the heavenly church and the earthly church. The church that has gone before us is the church of Jesus Christ. It is a now church. It is a very real church. It just happens to be connected to us more than you realize. So be aware of that when you're pressed of the Lord to ask for angelic assistance, because you could be entertaining. Okay? St. John, in the closing chapters of Revelation, had revelations by a man. And he looked like an angel, smelled like an angel, acted like an angel, talked like an angel, but he was a man. And we could verify that in the scripture, so that he was one that had come before John. So you see, the heavenly church and the earthly church are one. They're not divided. Okay? So that might help you to understand that when we take communion spiritually. Even though it's physical bread, it's also spiritual bread. Even though it's physical wine, it's also spiritual wine. So keep that in mind when you come to the table, and the Lord may press you to do something that may not be what you could say traditional in your background or where you came from. And if anybody knows how my background was, I was very much traditional. And we're not going to go there right now because it would take too long to explain it. But I was very much involved in the Roman Catholic Church. And God decided to flip me over like a pancake and do me on the other side. And that's okay. So if you come from a different type of background than this freedom place, be aware that the Lord is definitely in the process of changing all of us. Now I'd like to take you with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And I heard one thing this afternoon, and that was that the Lord wants us to be aware of His marvelous plan of construction. And construction, if you were building a home, an office building, if you were building a little tiny shack, all of them would require a foundation. All of them. And the foundation of the church is also required. And the verse I want you to look at right now is verse 11. And I'm using the Amplified Bible because there's a few extra words in there that may help you to understand why the foundation of the church needs to be done in a very different way than maybe tradition has done. Tradition has done with a hierarchy. Jesus said His church was to be founded the way He wanted it, by His Holy Ghost. Okay? So, verse 11 says, "And His gifts were varied. He Himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles." In parentheses, they're called special messengers. "Some prophets." In parentheses, inspired preachers and expounders. "Some evangelists." Preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Now, in the past couple of weeks, we've lost a man that was a very world-famous evangelist, Billy Graham. His wife. Sorry. Not his... Well, she was part. She was one with him, so when you think about it, I'm probably stretching it, but in a sense, you know, they were one. And so whenever you saw a little bit of that, you saw him, you saw her. And God uses different things. Like this gentleman was gifted and appointed by whom? By the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has not stopped his appointments. His elections are not left to the people. His appointment, because it is appointed, that's written in my Bible. Is it appointment in yours? And his gifts were varied, and he himself appointed some to be prophets, pastors, teachers, etc. Is that the word that's in your Bible? Or is there a different word? Gave. Okay? Same. Correct. So it hasn't changed. So I said to the Lord, what do I do with this piece of information? How do I relate the difference between the coming church and the past church? If we were to go into the heavenly church, do you think that Jesus would call for an election of officers? No? You don't think so? Okay. So in the heavenly church, I would dare say that those who are appointed to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists are very much appointed by Jesus himself. He's the head of the church. So are we going to have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists in the heavens? How many say yes? Yes. Because you see, the giftings don't quit just because your spirit gets separated from your body. Now, isn't that a cool thing, huh? You won't think it's so cool on the next level. Huh? Coming in? The gifting of an evangelist, he has a gift inside of him and he draws. He's not going to lose his unction. He may not be evangelizing in the heavens, but his gift is not just for one purpose, to serve in the earth. It's to serve in the heavens as well. His giftings are not going to be taken away. Yes?
But won't there be different levels? I mean, like,
absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We'll still be learning, and because Jesus is revealing himself consistently. So he's going to still use those that are gifted to be able to speak. And an evangelist has an ability to speak. And he has an unction. So he's going to be able to take them to a higher level. It's not going to stop. We're going to learn. We're going to be learning multiples of levels of worship. Of many, many things that he's going to unfold. But my press is this. Many years ago, I remember a beautiful teacher that punctured me. How many know that sometimes you can get punctured by the Word of God? Punctured me. And the word was this. You're going to be judged according to the giftings that you have. And let's say that you decide that you don't want your gift to be used. So you're going to be an evangelist. And you decide. You appoint yourself to be quiet. And now your birthright is what? Rejected? Yes? Is that right? If you reject your birthright, will God honor that? you'll give it to somebody else, but you still have rejected him. Will he respect your decision to reject it? Yes, he will. But when you land before Jesus and you've got your anointing on you, because it's never going to come off, and you've got your evangelist anointing on you, not used, probably very dusty, very wrinkly, because you've slept on it all these years. Not used. Are you catching on? You're a gifting that you have been appointed to receive and to do would not be used. And Jesus is going to look at you and he's going to say, you know what? How come that garment isn't used? How come that mantle is so wrinkled? How come you've slept on it? Why did you fold it up and just stuff it in your back pocket? And I said, oh my God, you can reject the Lord's calling on you and his appointment of your position in the body of Christ just by shutting down and bowing to fear. Because that's where I used to live. I couldn't have opened my mouth for 1,000 years when I was under the anointing of fear. I would tremble. Literally tremble if I was asked to speak. You'd never believe it today. No disagreement. But it's the absolute truth. I would not have been able to communicate with a group. Small groups I could do reasonably well. But large groups, I didn't do well. I was filled with fear of rejection. So therefore, I would have folded up that mantle and I would have put it in my back pocket and I would have said, well, Lord. Yep. So now what am I saying to you? The giftings and the callings in the body of Christ are to be used, and even you sometimes will be using them afraid. Or doing them afraid by choice. And when you do them afraid, God will anoint you and refresh you and prepare you for bigger days ahead. You say, well, I'm no good at public speaking. Well, who is? Jesus is. Where is he living? Inside of you. Does he have an ability to develop your pastorate? Does he have an ability to develop your ability to be an apostle? To go out and teach and preach. As long as we cooperate. I was in Washington State many years ago, and a word was given over me publicly, which I wanted to melt into the ground. And it was that if I said yes, that I would be used of God to do A, B, C, D, E. Well, as far as I was concerned, that person needed to have their minds re-examined and readjusted because I didn't see any of those things inside of me. But then they added one thing. All these things are inside of you in seed form. In seed form. Well, seeds aren't very big. But if you nurture a seed, what do you get? Whatever that happens to be from. Amen? So therefore, there are seeds inside of you that are developing. If you willingly say yes. But if you say no, put it in your back pocket. Don't water it. Don't put it in the ground. It's going to dry up and sit there for as long as necessary. But when you meet your maker, he's going to look at you and he's going to say, ha-ha, those seeds in your pockets? Why didn't you develop them? See, he's expecting you to use the talents you've been given. And we have that by the message about the talents that he gave. Don't hide and cover it up because of fear. Because all your talents are going to be turned over to someone greater. Not a good message. Not an easy one to swallow. But it is the truth. Okay? Much of the church is crippled. Because the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists are not doing their job. They're saying, well, let somebody else do it. Well, praise God, let somebody else. And everybody's got the same attitude. Let somebody else, let somebody else. It's not a good idea. How about willingly saying, okay, I'm going to water the seed. I'm going to use the mantle God has given me. And I'm going to do it afraid. Not boastfully, but humbly. And I will be used of God to do that which He has invested in me and appointed me to become. You say, well, I don't have any of those that I know of. Well, how about helps? Ministry of Reconciliation. An ambassador for Jesus. Yeah. We all have that ability. Okay? He calls us priests and kings. Well, today, I didn't know I was going to share this, but I guess I will, because it's bouncing in. I heard the Lord say, well, you've got a paper that you need to read today. And so I opened my Bible, the other one, and I have a envelope or a slice in there, and not advertising, just letting you know, see, there's all kinds of little papers there, et cetera, on both sides. And the Lord said, use that one, and I want you to read it. I'm not reading it to you. But I read it. And it's a person in the body of Christ who had a dream. And in that dream, there was a prophetic message about this church. And God was going to do something, because in that dream, it showed the development of appointed people to do a certain work for God. And that's what prompted what I'm telling you tonight. Okay? That means that that dream came close to a year ago to one in the body, and they were fine enough and kind enough to print it out for me and gave me a copy. And I said to the Lord, you know, it's going to be nice when that happens. It's going to be real nice. And so, what I'm trying to tell you is, when God starts to activate something, He starts way ahead of schedule. So you may have already had a nudge that you're able to do a certain thing. Well, I can't travel the whole world. Well, maybe you can't, but God can. Maybe you can't talk to anybody just yet, but if you say to the Lord, you know what, I can do an evangelist job. I can talk to somebody about Jesus. I can tell my neighbor about a scripture. Yes. Amen. And you can spark them to life through one little word. Now you say, I haven't given him a whole big message. I didn't talk to him about all these other things. But you know what? When you put that first seed in the ground, all you get is a little twig. And then what do you get? And pretty soon, a mighty oak. Right? What am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying that God has appointed you to be a certain person in the body of Christ. And if you say yes to Him, He will develop you. He will give you a hunger for what's next. He will create inside of you a desire to do that which you might not have wanted to do. I can remember the Lord saying to me, you're going to be a pastor someday. And I said, over there, that guy. Okay? I can also remember that 4 years before He sold my business, that he says, you're almost all done in this industry. And I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? And it took me 2 years to get the courage to speak to my wife about it. And at the end of 2 years, I did speak to her about it, and the rest is history. So I was out of a job at 42. And did nothing for the next 3 years except follow the Lord. And obey Him. And do what He said to do. 3 years sabbatical. Then I went to work full time for Gino in a church in downtown Springfield. What am I saying to you? He had a plan to educate me. He had a plan to unfold his appointment. He had a plan to use me. Did I want to? Part of me did. But it would have been a lot easier if he would have let me go to school where I thought I was supposed to go to school, and I paid my way to go. But they sent me back the check twice. And I still have the check. And on the form, it says we do not return the entrance fee. You know, and I still have it. You know, I need to be reminded once in a while, God, you rejected and closed the door. How many have ever been closed doors because of God? Yeah, thank you. Oh, it was going to be so great to go to this school and get a degree, and it's going to be great, you know? And he said, no. He said, no. Can God say no? Can you say no? Yes, you can say no. It's up to you. But you can also say yes and say it afraid. Lord, I know that this calling is in me. You've told me. I have no ability or desire to do it, but you have your way in me. And I can remember the song, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Oh, yes. As long as it's my way, I'll be okay. Well, how many have ever sang that song?
You know, I was talking to another person today, and that's what they said to me. Oh, as long as it's your own way.
Uh-huh. Again, his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, some prophets, some expounders, some evangelists, some preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors and shepherds of his flock and teachers. And his intention, verse 12, this is the purpose, was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. Whoa! So now you see why the church is crippled. Many people have said, I'm going to sit on this anointing. I'm going to sit on this seed. I'm not going to let anybody water it. I don't like what God thinks of me and what he thinks I can do. Scary, right? Well, how do you overcome? You repent. Is it too late? Nope. Is it ever too late? It could be. I can remember a particular gentleman who is now broken, completely broken. And I remember the very first time the Lord showed me what this man was to be. And I said it to him in black and white. I wrote it down. I said, this is what God wants to use you to do. He says, I can't. I said, well, God will confirm it in two or three witnesses, and you will just have to obey him. And I can't make you. I can't make you do it. But you can do it. And he had a hunger for the Lord. He got baptized, got changed by God. The Holy Ghost did a marvelous work. And I can remember, how many remember Thea Smith? Okay? Marvelous lady of the Lord. So I have this gentleman with me. And we're in Westfield. We go into the bookstore. And this is no lie. This is the absolute truth. And it relates. Now, I've never spoken to Thea about this gentleman. And you guys don't know him, so it's perfectly okay. And in the bookstore, it was like you'd walk into the doors, and there was like a counter over here. And then there was a break in the counter, and more counter, and there was a back room. We walked through the doorway, and she was like over there, close to that area. She walked down, she came over to him, she looked him straight in the face. She says, Kim, do you have oil? And I said, yes. Took my oil, I gave it to her. she put like fists on both hands, and she slapped him in the forehead, and he went, doom! And she says, now, young man! And she began to prophesy what he was to be. He got up from there, and we drove home, and he says, I'll never do it. And I said, that's up to you. He's lost his wife, he's lost his children, and he's living a life of a hermit. And I'm talking to you about a gentleman who was in his late 20s at the time. This is 30 years ago. I just saw his ex-wife a little while ago. Broken person. Broken family. Wounded people. Because of hardness of heart. Because of fear tactics. There were other incidences that word to him was confirmed as to what God wanted him to be. But there was no way he was going to obey. The dramatic place with Thea was so overwhelming. He was on that floor for over 25, 30 minutes. People walked over him because he couldn't get up. He was cemented to the floor, and he would not submit to the Lord. What am I saying to you? I believe there's still time for him, but it's not much left. Go ahead.
Well, in a situation like that, when he, considering everything, wouldn't the Lord take that, give it to somebody else? He can repent and be forgiven, but I don't...
But when he comes before the Lord, what he should have been will never become, because he made the decision to reject the appointment and reject the anointing that was on him and the mantle that was prepared for him. It was a mighty mantle from the Lord. Now, what am I saying to you? Some people that could have been perfected by this particular man and his particular family connections will never get what he was able to give them because he rejected the Lord's call. Remember the rich young ruler. There are many out there, and it has not changed. The rich young ruler says, I can't. I can't give away all I have because I don't want to. I'm afraid. Okay? I like my position of authority. I like to direct people. I like to direct traffic. I like my wallet full of money. What are we building? Are we building a house to satisfy people? Or are we building a house of prayer for Jesus? We will complete our mission. But my prayer is that you don't lose what God has invested in you and appointed you to become. That's my prayer. That what God has already invested in you, the kind of heart that you have, is needed in the body of Christ. You say, well, I'm not like so-and-so. God doesn't need you to be like so-and-so. He needs you to be you. He needs your particular talents. Your particular abilities and disabilities. You say, well, he needs my disabilities. Yes, because when they're perfected, you'll have compassion for those who have the same problem. You'll have compassion because you'll know how to treat them. Why? Because you know that in that type of a brokenness, they need compassion and love, not a scolding. What does the law do? It kills. It brings destruction. It brings death. When you minister to the young people that come into your shop there, young lady, and you give them that smile and you entertain them and you give them something to live for, that's what you were called to do for this season in your life. And you're obeying. My compliment to you. Blessings to you. And I'm asking the body of Christ to keep her in prayer. Why perfecting of the saints is so necessary. Verse 12 again. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. 13. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith. We all, heavenly church, earthly church, together, attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension and full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in Him. Wow. You mean God can do that to me and do that in me? Yes, He can. If we simply let Him perfect us. But what are you going to need? You're going to need apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, helpers, etc., etc., etc. All kinds of diversified people to complete a beautiful body of believers. Bow your heads. Father, those who are listening to this message and find it difficult, I ask that you would find the compassionate Savior, the one that is full of love for you, that will complement your disabilities with grace. I want you to put your hand over your heart and repeat after me, Lord Jesus, without grace I can't do this. Without your favor, with man and with you, I'll never complete my mission. But by God's grace alone, I choose as an act of my will to be completed in whatever station or appointed position that you have for me. I don't want to miss. If I've bowed to fear, I repent. I ask you to change my heart. I even don't have the willingness right now, because it's scary. So give me the courage to do it afraid. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Timothy is a son to St. Paul. And St. Paul teaches Timothy how to go forward in obedience. Do you think he did it all perfect? Thank you. He did it to the best of his ability. If you do it to the best of your ability, God will complement you with more and more grace, and you will complete your mission. And you know what? It's not because you have to be so perfect and so talented. It's you He wants, just the way you are. And He will perfect that which concerns Him. And then He will say, well done, faithful servant. Well done. How many yearn to hear those words? Thank you. All you have to do is just go forward believing that He will enable you to complete everything that He's put you in, wherever that happens to be. Because He is Lord, isn't He? So if He's Lord, that means He's got the ability, He's got the willingness, He's got the grace, and He's got a few angels that are just parked waiting. Maybe they need to go home with you tonight. Amen? Amen. Any additions? Any questions? That's a scary one.
I might know where I'm going to go if I should die tonight, but I guess I wouldn't hear those words. Well done.
Well, we don't know that, because the only one that knows your heart is Jesus and yourself. See, you've got a disagreement.
Yeah, if you want to discuss it out in the hall.
There you go. Bob will fix you.
I think Kim already fixed me with his message.
Well, it's not a scary message. It's just, it identifies the reality. And we need to get a reality check once in a while on this subject. Because sometimes we're waiting for somebody else. And we don't know how much he's invested in us already. Yes, dear?
I think the biggest message to that comes from that is how much our disobedience to what God's calling us to do is affects everyone around us, everybody.
Yes.
People don't realize that.
They don't.
And that's the biggest lesson I've learned. Is that something that God's calling me to do? If I don't follow through on it, I think that that person's selfish,
yep,
and that person's life.
Yes.
And we don't realize.
You don't.
All of that.
Right.
Scary thought.
Well, the thing is that, you see, I would say within the past 5 years, I have seen so much of this and the brokenness in my heart because of it. Okay? The brokenness in my heart because I see the suffering that not only the person who did the rejecting received, but the ones around them and how much it's damaged them. Which is what, you know. And then I never see the outer layers. But the outer layers are very real. You know? So, can I do what he's called me to do? By him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Well, God's saying you can't. The most dangerous message we give ourselves is to say I can't.
Correct.
Those words just shut us down completely.
Yeah.
I have a friend whom you know and Peggy knows, who's scared of his own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everything you bring to him, he says, I can't, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't.
And he's bound by fear.
Absolutely.
Right.
So who's God to say, I can, and who are we to say, I can't?
That's right. Oh. So you're saying to your creator, you can't create. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, I believe that this message can transform lives. I believe that as you anoint the word that you gave tonight through my mouth and through the mouths of those that have helped, that there will be a real refreshing thought coming forth out of their hearts. That without you, Lord, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things as you strengthen us to become an effective tool for this area. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other. Yeah.